Welcome to the Love with Intelligence radio show with your host, international relationship and dating coach, Lily Walford. In this show, we are going to be diving into how you can enjoy undeniable love that lasts. Hello and welcome to today's episode. In this episode, we're going to be diving into something that I just absolutely love. And that's body language, behavioral profiling, and understanding how to read if someone is telling the truth or telling a lie better than a polygraph machine. Which, as you can imagine, it's highly important when it comes to dating, knowing that you're meeting someone who is telling the truth, someone who is ready for a relationship, and someone who has your best interests at heart. So if you know anyone else who is single, who is struggling to go and meet the right person, who has been betrayed, perhaps even cheated on, then please share this episode with them. Please, 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 you know, check out on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and all these different places and share this episode with them, because we're going to be going into so many different things where it can actually help someone understand people at a better level, but also we're going to be sharing knowledge with you which could potentially save someone's life. So please share away, because I'm going to be sharing some very interesting things during this episode. So you're probably thinking, like, how on earth does a dating coach and a dating and relationship coach get into something like behavioral profiling and body language? Well, if you have been listening for a while, you will know that I was in a narcissistic, psychopathic relationship where I was stalked for over 5 years of my life after the relationship had ended. So I have a very inquisitive mind when it comes to understanding how people work, how people tick, what creates a healthy relationship, what doesn't, who's compatible with who, and all these beautiful different things. So when it came to things like dating for me, after that narcissistic psychopathic relationship, it was super, super important that, number one, I could trust my own judgment. Because after those relationships, even though that I believed at the time that I could read people really well and I knew whether someone was a good person or not, my intuition failed me at those moments. And there's reasons behind that. When it comes to narcissists, they've got a very, very clever, deviant, charismatic character to them, which draws people in. So there's a few different things around that. But I wanted to learn more logical ways to be able to read people. And as a result, I ended up meeting my partner, who is also heavily into behavioral profiling, body language, and all these juicy, juicy things. And it's something that has amplified our relationship. It's taught us actually how to communicate in a better way, how to know when to give each other space, how to know to lean into each other, how to know how to solve things together in the best possible way. So understanding this has helped us, number one, make the right decision of getting together, but number two, how to actually, you know, prolong our relationship and make it healthy and make it into something that's long-lasting and something that feels good for the both of us. Plus, there's the benefit of actually being able to learn more about you and your needs and the way that you act and the things that you feel good about and don't feel good about, and you can tell that from just your body language, which is highly interesting. The thing is about body language is it's something that we do on a subconscious basis. Because we've always been taught that we need to speak in a certain way, share certain things, we've learned to regulate the things that we openly share verbally. But we haven't had the awareness to actually go, okay, well, what's my body saying? And it's, again, something that we can't control. So even if, you know, you learned, for example, having a high blink rate would increase, you know, shows that you're stressed and you thought, okay, I'm going to slow down your blinking. Well, chances are you'll probably start tapping your foot instead. Your body is something that's really hard to control overall in order to stop people seeing the lies, to stop it from being, you know, things being communicated through your body. And the reason behind this is because when we lie, our adrenaline spikes and our body needs a way to be able to actually release that energy. And it will do it in various different ways. And I'll share a few of those things with you. And this is, again, stuff that we actually cover in a very in-depth basis throughout the Love with Intelligence Academy. Okay, because it's not about saying, oh, you lied about this, and oh, I'm looking for all the red flags. It's not about that. It's about how can you communicate on that deeper level to the point where, number one, you're able to make the best informed decision for yourself to meet the right partner. Number two, where you can learn more about yourself and go, oh, actually, I can see that I'm a bit stressed at the minute. I can tap into that. Number three, you're able to build a relationship because you're both communicating, not just on face value of words, but you're communicating on a basis of actually reading each other's body language. And that's like the equivalent of going from a text to a phone call, to seeing each other in person, to seeing the full picture of being able to read that body language. There's only so much that you can get from a text or an email. There's only so much that you can get from hearing someone's voice. There's only so much that you can get just seeing someone in person, but without knowing what you're fully looking at. You might sense something, but you just don't know what you're looking for yet. And when you can see it, you can't unsee it. That's the beauty of this stuff. And this is why I really want to share this with you, because when you start noticing these things, you'll never not notice it. It's a little bit like the Matrix with the blue pill and the red pill. And, you know, this stuff becomes really important to actually learn when it comes to being able to connect on that deeper level. And also, you know, going a little bit more morbid, you know, look at the amount of people who trusted someone's best interests and, you know, got severely punished as a result. You know, I'm talking about people who've gone on dates and ended up murdered at the end of the day. You know, this is about not just creating those amazing connections and having a successful, loving relationship, but for some people, this stuff can genuinely be life or death too. You know, if you think about the amount of people who have gone through abusive relationships, well, in the US, it's like 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have gone through physically abusive relationships. In the UK, I believe, and bear in mind, the UK is quite small. In the UK, 2 women every single week are killed by their partners or their ex-partners. You know, this is not a joke. This stuff is something that can genuinely allow people to pick the right person, because no one goes, oh yeah, I'm going to go into a toxic relationship or an abusive relationship. No one ever says that. But this is about being able to pick the right person, but also to make sure that you're able to protect yourself as well, where you can read people at that deeper level and where you can trust yourself, where you can trust your own judgment. Because yes, intuition's so important, so, so important, but it fails when the biology is hacked. And what I mean by that is there's certain things that narcissists can do very, very naturally well, and what the pickup artist industry teaches as well. If you don't know what the pickup artist industry is, it's where men are trained to pick up women to sleep with them for one night. And you can actually hack the biology of someone. So it's a little bit like, if you've seen, you know, you've heard about things like Pavlov's dog, for example. You know, there's a level of conditioning already there within human people. So, you know, if you say hello to someone, chances are they're going to say hello back. And people use that biology and use that natural reaction to get what they want. And it, being able to recognize ingenuine behavior, inauthentic behavior, and someone who doesn't want your best interests at heart from the very beginning helps you to notice this so you don't fall into the traps of these types of people. I know I don't usually go that deep on this stuff, but this stuff's so important to know. You know, if I think about when I started dating, and, you know, I wanted to meet someone who was right for me. And, you know, I had that this stuff wasn't on my radar, that there was people like narcissists or psychopaths or, you know, people who actually train people to go and manipulate them into bed. You know, I didn't know any of this stuff. And funnily enough, not many people know about this stuff either. Not many of my clients know about this stuff. So this is very much about how, you know, to read people to get the truth. Because I think the truth is so important. The truth is about, you know, being able to make that informed decision that's right for you rather than someone else making it for you. And it's giving you back that control, putting you back in the driving seat, being able to empower you to make the right decisions for you rather than, you know, being, you know, caught up in the wind of someone else's manipulation tactics for their own endeavors. So, the things that are really important to start to understand is, you know, these bad people, yes, there's not many of them. There's more good than bad, and that's really important to understand. And also, the other thing that's really important to understand is that the more attractive you find someone, the lower your guard is. They actually did a scientific study on this, where they showed pictures of two individuals, one who was deemed highly attractive because attractiveness tends to come from how symmetrical your features are on your face. And they did this for a very attractive person and a not so attractive person. And they said that these people, they committed exactly the same crimes. And they showed, you know, the attractive person to one group of people and the non-attractive person to the other group of people and asked them how long their sentence should be for the actions or the crime that they committed. And it was completely hypothetical, you know, the crime and everything like that, but it was just purely a test. And the funny thing is, every single time, the more attractive person got less sentencing time. And it's because the mind goes, well, they're attractive. They feel good. They feel familiar. You know, when we see someone that's attractive, our pupils dilate. The pupils get bigger. Okay? So when we see something we don't like, our pupils constrict. They get smaller. And it's like, oh, I want to look away. But as soon as we see someone that we're really attracted to, they get bigger and we want more of it. We suddenly have that instant rapport that is created because we find this person attractive and we want to get them on side. So that's really important to understand. The other thing, and this is going to be very contradictory to what I've been saying, is there's no machine out there that can actually tell if someone's telling a lie or not. Yeah, even polygraph machines, even the lie detector machines, they cannot tell, they do not read if someone's telling a lie. What they read is stress levels. And, you know, like we've said before, when the heart, when we get stressed, our body releases that adrenaline and we need to be able to burn that off. So what we're reading is stress signals. Now, obviously, everyone's stressed nowadays, and this is where it becomes so important to read something called baseline. A baseline is how everyone normally acts. So, for example, there might be someone who, you know, just blinks a lot in general. Well, fantastic. take that baseline, and when their blinking increases more or goes less, take note of it. And we'll go into what blink rate actually means in a moment, so you get a bit more of a better understanding. But it's like, okay, you know that saying of people, like, oh, if someone's got their arms closed, it means their body language is closed off. And it doesn't. It really doesn't. So it's like taking in that person's normal way of sitting, standing, breathing, talking, all those different things. So you can get that baseline of that person. And what we are reading when it comes to deception is deviance away from that baseline. Okay? And the other thing that's really important is that we're not just reading one thing. You know, some people go, oh, you know, this person's done this, so that means they're lying. No, it really doesn't. What we're looking for is multiple things at the same time, and we call this clustering. We're looking for a cluster of behaviours to show that person has deviated away from their normal way of acting, which can indicate that they are lying. So these are a few things that are really important to understand. And I'll share with you a few things that you can look out for. But please remember, you don't just read one thing on its own. You read a collective of things. And throughout the Love with Intelligence Academy, we teach people how to do this. We have fun with it as well. We actually go, right, go and watch that program. Who was lying in this? Who can tell me who was not being truthful, telling the truth in this program and doing all these things? It's brilliant. And we go through all the different behaviors that you can read and you can understand and look out for to see if someone's telling the truth or lying or not, and how you can actually deepen the connection with the right person from different behaviours too. So let's kind of dive into some of the juicy stuff. And I know that you've heard me talk about blink rate a lot, so let's start there. So what is blink rate? Well, blink rate is the amount of times that we actually blink. So on average, we blink 12 times per a minute. That's average. But if we are watching something that we are super interested in and we want to take all that in and we're engrossed in that experience, it can drop down to like a four, you know, blinking four times per minute. Like, think about the last time when you watched TV and you're watching something that you truly enjoyed. You were truly engrossed in the experience. Chances are your eyes wanted to stay open as much as possible to take everything in. Now, the opposite, where our blink rate increases, shows that we're stressed. It can also show that we're thinking about something too. You often see when people are thinking, they might blink a few times and look up. There's a reason behind this. We won't go into that today. But blink rate, when it increases, usually shows a level of stress. So again, you can't read this on its own, where it's like, oh, if someone's lying, they're blinking lots. No, you're reading that and usually two other behaviours that someone is showing. So how can you use this in dating? Well, it's a great way to know if someone's actually enjoying the conversation that they're having with you. So if you're talking about, I don't know, talking about maybe, you know, shopping and all the different clothes that you've recently brought, and, you know, your date has suddenly increased their blink rate, and they're like blinking away even though they're nodding their head and doing all the things, but their blink rate's increased, they're not interested. Ask them a question. Ask them something to get them re-engaged again, because, you know, it shows that they're not really interested in what you're sharing. If you're suddenly talking about something like, let's try and think, let's say you're talking about cars, and I personally love cars, you know, if you're saying, oh yes, I've just recently, you know, brought this car or went to go and view this car, and you see that their blink rate has gone really low, and, you know, they're taking in everything and they're sharing their experience, well, it shows that that person's highly engaged in what you are talking about and sharing with them, which is fantastic. So that's how you can tell if someone is interesting in the conversation, and also if someone's stressed or if someone's disengaged, just through blink rate. So that's just one thing I'm sharing with you. We go through, I believe it's just under 100 different types of body language within the Love with Intelligence Academy. And we teach it in a way where people are able to integrate it really quickly. Because you think, oh gosh, 100 different types of body language, that's a lot. We teach it in a very clever way that you remember it, because we know psychology too well. So, next one. Look for at someone's hands. Think about when you feel comfortable. Okay, even look at your hands now if you want to. You know, if you're in a comfortable state and you feel reasonably good, your hands and your fingers are going to be open. Your fingers are going to be extended outwards from your palms. The more uncomfortable you feel, your hands are going to go into fists. So have a look at your hands. Just notice how you're feeling. Notice how your hands are sitting. So let's say that you notice that your date has their hands balled up in fists, or their fingers are very closely into their palms. Start talking to them, ask them questions, and use your hands to talk with, because people love to be able to talk with their hands. And as soon as we start using our body language as a really open body language, where we're moving our hands, we're talking almost a little bit like Italians, and you know, Italians do, they tend to talk a lot with their hands. It actually encourages someone else to do the same, and it can help them to open their hands. Or ask them a question about something that you know that they enjoy talking about. Or ask them a question, if you don't know them very well, to learn more about them. And chances are they will start to open their hands up a little bit more, and it shows that they're a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more open with you. Be aware, things like temperature can have an impact on this. So things like if it's a bit cold or if it's a bit warm, you know, if you're warm, you're not really going to have your hands balled up as much. But if you're cold, you know, you might have your hands balled up, or you might have your hands flat on your body. You know, you have your hands, your arms wrapped around you, and you have your hands like almost cuddling you. They're going to be flat. So, you know, that can have an impact. So it's important to know that. So the next thing that you can look at is genuine facial expressions. Now, there's a difference between genuine facial expressions and ingenuine facial expressions. So the first thing is that genuine facial expressions are usually symmetrical. I want you to think about a smirk. Think about a smirk. It's one side of the face. Think about when someone's skeptical about something and they raise one eyebrow. You know, these are things that are, you know, not very genuine and open kind of body language and behaviours. And it's showing that that person doesn't trust you, or something's not right, or something's off. There's not that connection there anymore. So what you're looking for is symmetrical facial expressions. So look at how someone smiles. Are they using both sides of their face? Look at someone's eyes. You know, are they actually smiling from their eyes? You know, these are things can be really, really helpful to see if someone's actually being genuine or not. The other thing is that you can look for is something called lip compression. So lip compression, and I want you to do this with me, because the nice thing is, you know, with things being audio, you can't see me, but I can get you to do the action. All I want you to do is press your lips together. Just press those lips together. And imagine that you've said something, and press your lips together. Imagine like someone's like interrupted you and you've just decided to stop speaking. It's a little bit like that. Now, lip compression is usually when we're holding something back. Okay, we're holding, I think Greg Hartley from the behavior panel, he says it's usually when you're holding something back emotional. And like, I actually agree with that. So when you compress your lips, you're holding something back. If you see someone else, you know, compressing their lip, where you turn around and say, hey, how's that new job going? Go, yeah, it's great. Lip compression. You know that it's worth chatting with them a little bit more if you're good friends with them and exploring that a little bit more and going, oh, okay, what are you enjoying about it so far? You know, what the people like, and start, you can start to diagnose what's actually wrong with that job, whether they tell you or not. So how we can start to put this together is, let's say that you say, hey, how's the job going? Their blink rate increases, their fingers go into fists, and there's lip compression. And they go, yeah, it's great. You kind of can see that that person's not being completely truthful and being completely open. And you read those three body languages together. Okay, and that helps you to understand if someone is lying or not. Okay, and that's, and again, those behaviors need to be deviances away from their normal behavior. So, you know, this is kind of just a very, very quick intro into body language, but these are the things that you can kind of see. Anyone can see how often someone's blinking. Anyone can see if someone's hands are in fists or open. Anyone can see if there's lip compression or not. So it's really, really simple when it comes to seeing the truth. So when you have that moment where you're like, oh, something feels really off here, something doesn't feel good, and then you can match it with that body language, things feel easier to be able to spot and understand. You can start trusting your judgment a little bit more. And that's the thing I love about this, because it's about seeing the truth. It's not about saying that that person's wrong, that person's bad, that person's good. It's not about that. It's about being able to see the truth in someone so you can make that informed decision. Because things like where people have been in long-term relationships and all of a sudden their partner's cheated, or that, you know, they've seen their partner's betrayed them in some sort of way, they're not upset about what the action that person's done. What they're actually upset about is the trust that's been broken. They've been, you know, broken-hearted over the fact that the truth of what they believed their relationship to be was not. And that trust and that truth has been broken. So this is why it's so important to be able to see the truth in someone, so you're not put into compromising positions like that. So the next part I'm going to be going into is actually how you can actually use body language in order to really get on with someone and to boost that connection. And this is something called matching and mirroring. So there's a really cool way to find out if you're in rapport with someone. And this is actually something that I love to do when I go to things like cafes and restaurants, and I love people watching. I just love it. And you can see the people who are genuinely in love and getting on well. You can see the ones that are not, and the ones that have, you know, just had an argument and all those different things. But what you can see is that in the healthy, happy couples, or the people that get on the most, their behavior and their body language is matched. So what I mean by this is, if you're seeing two people, imagine two people having a chat at a coffee table, you know, sorry, at a coffee shop, you know, sitting at a table in a coffee shop, and they're having a conversation and they get on really well. Well, things that you'll see is they will drink at the same time. They're, you know, one might have crossed legs, and the other one might have crossed arms, and that shows that they're actually in rapport. So if you cross your legs and someone else crosses their legs or crosses their arms, that shows rapport. Okay? If someone crossed their legs and the other person had nothing crossed, well, that shows actually that person's disengaged and they're not really in rapport. So they're not really getting on. So what we're looking for is that matching and mirroring of behaviour. Because psychologically, what that does is it says, oh, well, you must think the same as me because our body language is the same. And that's the way that our minds process that. So we stay in rapport. We stay in that place of getting on with each other and feeling connected with each other. So that's how that works. Now imagine this. You're having a fantastic conversation with someone. You're really getting on with them. It feels really, really good, and you're just loving it. You're just totally in that conversation. And then suddenly their phone rings. They pick up the phone. They turn sideways to you. And just imagine that feeling. What happens there is it shows that that rapport has been broken, because the body language is not matched or mirrored anymore. So this is how this works. It's very, 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 very powerful. So this is how you can use that on dates and things like that as well. You can see if you're actually getting on with someone or not through, you know, whether you're matching and mirroring your body language. Super, super simple. Anyone can do it. Anyone can see that. So let's kind of talk a little bit about the next thing, which is echoing. Now, echoing is so powerful. You always know if you have met a really good communicator because they do and use echoing so well. So what is echoing? Echoing is where you repeat the last 3 to 5 words of what someone says. What someone says? Yes, what someone says. And that's the way it works in a conversation. So let's say that, you know, we're talking about the weather. Oh, it's so sunny today. Yes, it is sunny today. Oh, I love the sun. I've always been, you know, always find myself down the beach and things like that when it's sunny. Oh, down the beach. Yeah, we tend to go down the coast a lot. And that's kind of how that conversation tends to go. People think that it's something that people would pick up on, but it rolls really quite naturally in a conversation. So just repeating the last 3 to 5 words of what someone says can help them open up so much in a conversation. And what tends to happen in those conversations is people tend to feel really listened to and understood. Because what's the thing that most people love to do? Everyone loves to be able to talk about themselves. And when you're doing the echoing technique, you're not talking about yourself, but you're allowing the other person to talk more about themselves. So when you're in a dynamic, you know, when you're in that dynamic of having a conversation and they're sharing so much about themselves and they're feeling really good sharing all that things, they're going to build that connection with you really, really quickly because they feel understood, cared about, listened to by you. So it's a very, 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 very powerful tool to be able to use. To be able to use? Yes. Yes, it is. So do practice that one, because that one, it does have such an amazing effect on people. So the next one that you can look out for is, where are someone's feet pointing? So I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but where someone's feet are pointing is where their attention is. So if you're having a conversation and one foot's pointing to you and one foot's pointing to the door, chances are they're looking to leave. If they were in a conversation with you and both feet are pointing towards you, they're engaged in that conversation with you. In a group of people, you can actually see who the leader is of that group of people by actually looking at their shoes. You will see that the person that everyone respects the most, who leads the group the most, is where each person in the group has a shoe or both shoes pointing towards that person. So if you're ever in a negotiation or a work situation or anything like that, that's the person you need to get on side. So it can work really, really well. The other thing that we can kind of talk about as well is attraction signals. How do you know if someone's attracted to you? And we kind of like touched on this a little bit. And so we sort of mentioned in the beginning, when we see something that we really like and we're attracted to it, our pupils dilate, they get bigger. The other thing that happens, which is so weird, but it's weird when you talk about it, but it's true when you'll see it when it happens, is then the side of the nostrils will flare. And what that is it's the body trying to breathe in the pheromones and things like that of the other person to get that fuller experience, I'll put it that way. And it's also the adrenaline spike of, you know, wanting to pounce on someone. You know, at the end of the day, you know, when we get back to biology, you know, we have those instincts, I'm just saying. So we want to breathe in that energy and prepare ourselves for, you know, the fun stuff. And also, you know, we want to take in those pheromones and the scent of that person, because also it shares with us whether that person is right for us to breed with. If that person smells, you know, off to us, you know, just wrong to us, it can indicate that our genetics are too similar. But if that person smells good, well, that shows that that person can potentially be a very good mate to have offspring with. And that's the way that that works as well. So there's those little things that tend to happen when there's attraction. And the other thing that can happen as well is the torso will lean into that person. So it's very interesting as well. Like, I don't know if you saw that picture of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie before they broke up. You know, you can see that Angelina's trying to lean into Brad Pitt and trying to hug him, and his torso is just literally leant well away from her. He's trying to literally, you can see him trying to escape her. And it was a few weeks, I think it was, just after that photo had been taken, where they had fully split up. So you can really, really see just from body language alone of, you know, where people are at within their relationships and whether someone's into you or not into you, and also whether you're into them or not. It's very interesting when you start witnessing your own body language around people. The other one I'm going to end on is empathy. Because this kind of comes back to, you know, narcissistic relationships, also if someone's emotionally available or not, and, you know, if someone's just emotionally safe to be with. And if you've caught the narcissist episodes, you will know how to tell if someone's a narcissist or not by understanding this simple trick. And it's understanding this level of empathy through what people are showing on their face. So with a genuine, authentic facial expression, the facial expression will slowly fade off the face. So if you're smiling and you're happy, that smile will just gently fade and just move off the face. If you're faking that you're happy, you're going to smile at someone and go, "No, I'm done. I'm not smiling anymore." And it's going to be really, really quick. A little bit like when, you know, when you have someone at a party or something that you don't like, and they look at you, they smile at you, you smile, they turn their head, and it's like, boom, your smile is gone as soon as they're not looking at you anymore. Well, that shows that that expression's not genuine. In narcissists, that's a constant thing for them. Their facial expressions tend to be very, very fake. They will move from facial expression to facial expression to facial expression in order to in order to change the topic, to not show that level of empathy. So it might be talking about a really sad story, like a really sad story, like, "Oh my gosh, I've lost my job, I've done this, it's all this is happening, it's terrible." They might show a little bit of empathy on their face and then go, "Hey, so what's for tea?" And what you're looking for of narcissists in particular is it's a constant thing for them, because they're unable to feel into that empathy of what it really means, even though that they can recognize it. But it can also tell you a lot about someone's emotional maturity, even if they're not a narcissist. Are they able to empathize with you? Because again, you want a partner who's emotionally aware, who is self-aware, Because you always know me, I always talk about relationships. There should be two equals, because otherwise, you know, you're dancing with a dance partner who doesn't know how to dance and who's stomping all over your feet. You know, it hurts. It hurts being able to be in a relationship with someone who's not emotionally awake or self-aware or wanting to grow or not into personal development. It can harm a relationship. There was actually a client of mine who, she was in a relationship and, oh, bless it, it was just hard. She'd literally tell me that, you know, she'll go home and it's like, oh, is he speaking to me or is he not speaking to me? And she was basically living her life, treading on eggshells and dealing with his emotional mood swings and all these different things. And, you know, she was highly self-aware. She was highly accomplished in her career. But she was with a partner who, you know, wasn't able to listen to her, wasn't able to support her, didn't really cheer her on, you know, was completely stonewalling her. And she was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. So we went through a few different things because, you know, when people look at their relationships, and they're in a relationship and they love that person, even if that relationship hurts, they want to be able to do whatever they can to improve it. So we took some steps to be able to support her to improve that relationship. And it was like, okay, you need to communicate in this way, notice this body language, do this, do that. And bless her, you know, she did all these different things, but her partner wasn't self-aware. Also, he looked like he was a narcissist, so didn't have that level of empathy. So she had to make that choice to leave that relationship. Because, you know, it hurts being in those relationships where you don't have that support, where it is one-sided, where you are doing everything, where you are being punished all the time. You know, I think she even mentioned about, you know, when he was not talking to her, she felt a sense of peace. And it's like, yeah, these are all the signs that these are not the right relationships. So we actually supported her to leave that relationship in the best possible way for her. Because at the end of the day, life is too short to be with the wrong one. If you think about one of the things that's, you know, if you think about the things that are really important to experience in this lifetime, it's love. It is love, no doubt about it. If you think about it, how we love our parents when we're born, how we love, you know, just the sunlight and playing, how we love, you know, with creating things and drawing, you know, as kids, and, you know, how we love and learn to love when we start getting older and meeting people. Everything we do is driven by a sense of love in some sort of way. The love to do something, the love of an emotion, a love of a person, even down to, you know, there's been a scientific study done that people are more likely to do more for other people than they are for themselves. Because love is about this level of giving. You know, love is about being able to give and express and create and share. And, you know, when you're able to do that with someone who's also in that space of loving, creating, sharing, giving, it's beautiful. And it's like, why would you want to settle for anything less than that? And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people end up working with me. You know, if I think about another lady who came out of a narcissistic relationship, she went on to meet the right person within 21 days. You know, 21 days. And the beautiful thing is, you know, she's in alignment with her partner. She's in love with the life that they've created for each other. She's in love with her partner because they're just perfect together. They're compatible. I was chatting to another person today even, who was like, okay, cool. Well, you know, with body language and all these different things, you know, you're bound to fall in love with someone. It's like, yes, but it's more to it than that. There's a level of compatibility that needs to happen. You know, even if you used, you know, all the manipulation strategies out there, or you decided to use things like body language to force rapport. People are going to sense certain things to a certain degree, but also you're not going to feel good if that person's not aligned to you. So meeting the right person is about having that compatibility, having that alignment, having similar beliefs, similar interests, enjoying creating that experience to each other, and having the awareness of being able to connect at that deeper level where life and the relationship feels so good. And I always say that there's a sign of a fantastic relationship, and it's this. If it's a healthy relationship, both individuals will grow, and so will the relationship. That's the beauty of real love. Real love doesn't suppress, it doesn't control. It's genuine, it's authentic, and it comes back to being loved for who you are, not what you can provide, not for what you look like, not for anything external, just for who you are. And that's what I want for everyone. That's what I believe real love is. So I don't even know why I went into that, but it's super, super important and it just came through. So there. So let's move on to the last part of our show. And this is where you are allowed to email in at radio@lovewithintelligence.com. And, you know, you're able to ask any questions that you are struggling with when it comes to your love life right now. And we answer them completely anonymous. Well, not maybe not completely. First name and country you're from. And we go through and support you to be able to overcome that. Because the truth is, when you ask a question, there is going to be someone out there listening who's going through the same thing. And it helps them to understand what's the best thing for them to do as well. So let's kind of dive in. So the first one is from Michelle, and she's from Swansea, and she's talking about, you know, she's just gone through an experience, we'll put it this way, an experience with a narcissistic ex. And she's decided to go ahead and, you know, draw a line underneath that relationship. And she's recently met someone new. And she's like, okay, how do I know that this person is, you know, right for me or not? How do I know that this person's actually ready for a relationship? She's actually sent me a couple of these pictures as well. So going through things like pictures from a profile, you can kind of see if someone is emotionally available and open for a relationship, and also you can see their emotional intelligence. So what you're looking for, when you're looking at an online dating profile, for example, you are looking for something called emotional variance within the face. So are they really smiling? Can you see that they actually have a genuine smile when you look at their eyes? So if you cover the rest of their face and you look at their eyes, is it a genuine smile? If their photos look like they've just been taken and they could almost have the background changed so it looks like a mugshot, well, chances are that person doesn't really have that level of empathy. So that's the first thing that I would personally look for, because that can show, you know, narcissistic, psychopathic tendencies. And it can show just a lack of emotional awareness and compassion, which does not make a good relationship. The other thing is, as I'd look at the conversation that you're having with them. So is it about learning about each other? Are you taking time to actually learn about each other and understand each other? And is the conversation flowing easily? So, and what I mean by that as well is, you know, what are they asking about you? Are they always bringing the conversation back to them? Or are they genuinely curious? And you'll feel and see the difference. The other thing is, as well, is how are they leading the conversation and the interaction? Have they asked, you know, can we see each other? Or have they said, I'm really enjoying this conversation? Or have they said anything like, you're a really cool person? When you start looking at the dynamic, people will openly show whether they are interested or not. If they're not interested, you will not have any of these things. A self-aware person who is genuinely interested will not just lead you on. You will know exactly where that is heading. You will know if they want to see you. You will know if they're really genuinely enjoying the conversation. So these are the things that you can look out for. And also, how do you feel? Are you enjoying the interaction? Are you enjoying the conversation? Is it feeling good to you? Because that's another thing that's really important to check in with. Because if it doesn't feel good, then what's the point? So that's actually the only question we've had in this week. But if you do want to email in, please email in at radio@lovewithintelligence.com, and you can ask any question that you need support with that will support you with enjoying an amazing love life. Before we finally end, I do want to share a little bit more about the Love with Intelligence Academy. And I just want to say how amazing the results are that people have been getting. So it's not just about, you know, being able to learn how to date and, you know, learn how to meet the one. It's so much more. So we've had people heal from trauma and heavy trauma. I'm not even talking about, you know, the little breakup here or there. I'm talking about full-blown trauma that probably 1 in 1,000 people go through, and healing that in a very quick and an incredible way. I mean, we recently had a lady who went through a horrific amount of trauma 14 years ago, and it had resurfaced through an event that had happened. And cut a long story short, you know, she ended up seeing someone pass away, not in the greatest way. And we managed to heal that trauma within 90 minutes. And this was something that she held on to for such a long time, but we healed it in a way where actually her throat, she had a problem with her throat, and after the end of the call, she could breathe properly. She could actually, I think she actually said, you know, I can actually feel like I can breathe properly for the first time in 13 years. Checked on her the next day. She's absolutely fantastic, absolutely brilliant, feeling lighter, being able to sleep properly because she hadn't been sleeping properly. So there's things like that that happened during the academy. We've also had people who have quit smoking, changed careers, had promotions. It's not just about relationships. It's about you. It's about improving your life. It's about making sense of, you know, what you want, not just in a partner, but in your life, and how you can go ahead and get it. Because the truth is, the quality of our life is influenced by the quality of our relationships. The better the relationships we have, the easier it is to get what we want. But what not everyone realizes is that our relationships start with us. The relationship that we have with ourselves influences the relationships that we have with everyone else. And this is where I believe this concept of we are all one. So if you are interested in going into a completely transformational experience, then I do suggest that you do check out the Love with Intelligence Academy. We are keeping our doors open for a little bit longer, but they will be shutting soon. So if you are able to jump on now, fantastic, go ahead and do it. Transform your life, meet the loving partner, but also live the life that you deserve. And if you have gotten to the page and the doors aren't open, that's okay. Join the waitlist for now. So, I'm going to leave it there. I hope you have found this episode around the body language and all these different things super useful. Remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to email us at radio@lovewithintelligence.com, and I look forward to speaking to you all very soon. Take care. You've been listening to the Love with Intelligence radio show. If you do want to learn more about how you can improve your love life, then definitely go over to lovewithintelligence.com. We've got a ton of resources that you can check out to improve your love life today. And also, if you do have a question for the show, please email us at radio@lovewithintelligence.com, and we will answer your questions live on the show.